Hey, what's up, folks, and welcome to The Bosses. That's where we look out for you, giving you the best in geek news and movie reviews. I'm your host for the day, The Big Boss, and I'm here with my mans, The Professor. What's up?
What's happening? What's going on?
Nothing much, man. Just living a dream.
That's what they tell me.
Oh, man. So, you know, let's go through a couple of the items in movie news and TV news that we got going on. Do a couple reviews. Got a nice little fan casting for you today. It's a two-parter brought to you by the professor himself. It's a pretty genius idea.
Something so, figured it'd be worth his go.
Yeah, man. So, we're going to dig right in and get right into it. So, first up, we got the weekend box office. Nothing really surprising here. Great news for Black Panther finally hitting that $1 billion mark come the end of the weekend. They're rounding out the weekend box office, coming out on top with 41.1 million, a drop of 38% from last week, which is pretty big. So they're like around the same amount domestic and worldwide, which is pretty great news. Especially worldwide, just hearing the foreign box offices they've been raking it in. There's still a lot of the box offices that haven't been reported yet.
Yeah.
So we're just waiting to hear back from those, and then we'll get like some really solid numbers. A Wrinkle in Time coming up second at 33.3 million. Not really a surprising debut, pretty strong debut. Friday, it actually was at the top of the box office, ahead of Black Panther, but the overall weekend box office went to Black Panther at the end of it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's pretty solid opening. I got to check it out, so we'll probably talk about it a little later, and I'll tell you guys what I thought about it. And then rounding it all out is Strangers Pray at Night. It's a horror film, came out with $10.4 million on its debut weekend, which is pretty strong. I mean,
yeah, concerning the competition.
Yeah. Horror genre has a solid fan base, so definitely not surprised that this made it out on top. I know last week I said probably Death Wish would be rounding this out, so this was surprising, but then again not, because, you know, I'm not like a big fan of horror, so I didn't really know how this would take. So it's good to know that the new horror film that came out got a strong base, strong start. So yeah, man, I'm really liking these box office totals, man.
Yeah, I mean, Strangers to me isn't too much of a surprise, because it's one of those that it's a sequel or a trilogy. I forget which one it is at this point.
Yeah.
Those cheesy horror flicks get those followings, so people see the new one, they want to go see it, even though they're probably terrible. So I'm not really surprised overall that it came in at number three. A Wrinkle in Time doesn't surprise me either, because it was a big, kind of a bigger name as far as stuff that was coming out newer anyway. You know, and of course, Black Panther's still number one, you know.
Yeah.
To drop 38% to still be number one for the weekend is pretty impressive.
Right. So. Definitely. Yeah, man. I'm looking at these numbers. You got 562,000 domestically, or a million domestically, and then 516 million foreign. It's like, this movie is breaking records, definitely, and it's still on the rise. I'm excited. I definitely am trying to do my own M'Baku challenge, so I want to go again so that I can learn the lines thoroughly and without any issues.
Twist your arm to have to go see it again.
No, not at all. Not at all. Twist my arm. Maybe you had to slightly tap, or just think about touching my arm. That's all you had to do.
Just get as far as, you want to go see Black? Yes. Yes, I do.
You want to go see Blast? But I did. Yes.
Yes. But I didn't finish what I was going to. It doesn't matter. I'm in. Let's do it.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I'm really hoping that they make an M'Baku pop vinyl. Like, I really need that.
Oh, I'm sure they will.
I think they put up like a Twitter question online asking the fans if they wanted an M'Baku pop. So hopefully they come through with that one.
They'll do. They're smart. They do it every once in a while. They'll put polls up like, you know, what series do you want to see us make next? And they'll put, you know, a couple options to make people vote, so they know what they need to do. So Funko's very smart about the way they do that stuff.
Definitely. So I'm hoping that they round out the rest of that cast. I mean, we don't have a Claw. We don't have a Ross. I want everybody.
You never know. You never know. Yeah. I'm sure they're not done. They usually do them in waves, so I'm sure they're not done.
Yeah, yeah. It would be awesome if the Claw one has like a button that you can press on the back and he sings "What Is Love."
God, I think that's a little less likely, but that would be pretty funny.
That would be awesome. Oh man, so let's go ahead and move on to what is next. We got some geek news for you coming up. So fresh out of TV, YouTube Red is releasing a Cobra Kai movie or series. Basically, it's following the characters of the Karate Kid, the original Karate Kid, post the last Karate Kid that features Daniel-san, and we're watching their lives as adults. These trailers look vicious. Like,
it looks like it's going to be kind of a fun show. My only issue is that it's on YouTube Red, which I don't want to pay for.
I know.
So I have to figure out how exactly I'm going to get this. But I do want to say it because it looks like it'd be fun.
Yeah, yeah. Like, the trailers almost make Daniel look like a prick. Like, I'm not even going to hold you. Like, he looks annoying in these trailers.
I thought I remember reading something that says he's actually the bad guy.
And that makes sense. I remember there being like this big deal about this article that came out where the guy basically flips the movie on the head and says that Daniel was the villain. And I was like, when you really read it, it's like, yo, he really was. Like, by modern day standards, Daniel was a bully. Like, for all intents and purposes.
I'm pretty sure there's a video because one of the radio shows I listen to talks about it every once in a while. I'm pretty sure there's a video that somebody cut together that really, really makes him look like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, just the way they cut it together and everything. So it'd be pretty funny to watch.
Yeah, yeah. I'm definitely interested in this show, so hopefully we'll get to find some kind of way. Maybe they'll release it on Hulu. Maybe they'll release it on Netflix or something. I need to be able to watch this.
Oh, I'll find a way.
Oh, man.
There's always a way.
So next up in the TV news, we got Westworld Season 2. Basically, we're getting reports that we will be exploring what else is beyond the park. So that sounds good. I know that there's a couple other different worlds, and they kind of left us with a hook as far as, I can't remember who was like the woman in the bar, Thandi Newton's character. Mm-hmm. Her daughter might be in another park, another one of the parks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. So that's going to be her quest, I think, next season is like her trying to find her daughter. So that
first season was so good. I can't.
Oh, man. Yeah, you want to talk about some twists and turns? Yeah. If you haven't, like, I won't go as far as to trying to spoil this and expand on this for you guys, but if you haven't watched Westworld yet, you need to get on that immediately.
And stick with it. It jumps back and forth a little bit, but stick with it because it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right, moving on to some movie news. We got the EW interview with Kevin Feige. There was a big issue released, I believe, last week with a ton of different collectors' covers of all the different characters within the MCU. It looked great. I'll try to get those covers together so you guys can see them on the website. But it was great. And, you know, Kevin Feige had an interview in that one. He had a couple details about Infinity War and the Avengers moving forward and the MCU moving forward. But basically, I mean, he has a couple quotes here and it's all talking about, you know, there being some Infinity War deaths and they may be permanent. I think the biggest like, piece of news for me out of this, or the biggest shakeup quote, is he was like, you know, there's a list of, you know, even though there's a list of characters that they've killed in the movies, he's like, there may be some big ones that people are looking at, and he's like, look, people need to be careful what they wish for, because obviously they're making those dreams come true now. So it's like, wow. That's going to be, I know that this one's going to be a heavy hitter. And it makes sense. The stakes need to be high. There need to be some long-lasting effects as a result of this movie, and it just makes sense.
I don't understand, though, the kind of bloodlust that people seem to pull out for these movies. Like, somebody has to die, the movie's not any good. Why? Like, why do these characters that we enjoy in these movies, why do they have to die? I don't understand. Like, I mean, yeah, there's some impact when some of these guys go, but at the same time, you have to sit back and go, well, you know, that guy that I really liked, yeah, he died and made an impact, but now I'm never going to see him again.
Right, right.
So, like, you're trading one for the other. I don't get that whole thought. I don't know that any of the big names are really going to die outside of maybe RDJ.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I think he's probably reaching a point where he's like, you know, I don't know if I really want to do this anymore. Because I think he's the oldest of the cast and all of them.
Yeah.
You know, and it's to the point where he's not going to want to keep doing movie after movie after movie. Eventually, the guy's right. Just not going to do movies anymore. You know, if they're smart, I think they stick with the idea of kind of what they did in the comics where the character's killed and they bring him back as the AI.
Right.
You know, make things easy on him. Now he can just be the voice. Now he's getting paid. He still gets paid, but now it's just, you know, 10 times easier for him to do these movies. So.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. I'm still sticking to my thought that the biggest name that probably dies is probably Pepper Potts. I think that's what leads to his out as being Tony Stark and being Iron Man anymore. I think, you know, the two of them are engaged now. You know, they're trying to get married. Or
yeah.
Maybe by the time this movie comes out, they'll consider them married. You know, and if she dies, you know, he's going to look at that and go, oh, my God, you know, I can't do this. I can't be a hero anymore. I couldn't even save her. You know, right. That kind of thing. So I could see that as their way out, you know, for him to leave the franchises, you know, alive but just not come back.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think there's going to be some kind of retirement at this point. We have characters here that are setting up a solid next generation class, and these next generation classes are going to need some mentors. So
yeah.
It's always good to keep people around so that they can teach the next grade. So I'm hoping that that's what happens. But if people die, I mean, I'm a movie buff. So I mean, like, I love the way that this, when the stakes get higher, there's a real risk here for our world to be permanently damaged. So it's like a dark fascination with, especially with franchise movies. It's like, all right, man, we've been getting through a lot of these movies scot-free. If these risks are going to be as high as you know, the franchise is setting them up to be, if Thanos is as much of a threat as they've been setting him up to be, somebody got to lose a life. And if it's you know, if it's Pepper Potts, that sucks. But, you know, a lot of people are surmising that it could be Cap or it could be RDJ. So it could be Iron Man or Captain America. And, you know, at this point, it's up in the air. We got solid enough base where I know they'd be able to recoup after it. But, you know, who knows? Who knows?
Well, let's look at it, right? It's not going to be Tom Holland. It's not going to be Parker. It's not going to be Doctor Strange because we know they've all got sequels coming.
Yep.
It's not going to be Black Panther.
Because they just confirmed his sequel.
They just confirmed his sequel because they're going to make like 17 of those probably. I mean, it's not going to be more than likely not going to be Hemsworth because he's already said he'll keep doing it as long as they bring Taika Waititi back.
Yeah.
You know, so you know, read between the lines, he's obviously not going to die, at least not in this one. So it leaves kind of only a handful of characters, you know, that would be considered, you know, your upfront main characters.
Yeah.
You know, it leaves, essentially, of the names that are left, it leaves you with Superman. Leaves you with Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
A little spoiler alert early for that one. RDJ, right? And if you're just going by what would be considered, like, the frontline characters, the only one really would leave you with is Star-Lord. And pretty sure they're not going to kill him off either, so, because they've got a third movie coming.
Yep.
So, that basically leaves Cap and Iron Man as your main front-run big-name characters is the only ones left who could potentially die.
Yeah.
The one thing I've read here and there is that they think maybe what they'll do is Cap will get sent back in time, back to when Peggy is still young and alive, and he gets to live out his life there.
Oh, wow. You know,
being happy kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a time stone and all that, so that could be their way to quote-unquote kill Captain America, yet you still have, you know, a chance where you could bring him back. You know, because, yes, he's going to be in his 90s, but he doesn't age, essentially. Right. You know,
or Super Soldier Serum, slowly.
He ages very slowly. So you could have an older guy, because I think at one point in the comics, he loses the Super Soldier Serum and he ages rapidly to become 90 years old, but he's still like the head of S.H.I.E.L.D. kind of thing. So
yeah.
You could recast it as an older actor and say, oh, it was him. He was just back in time, and now he's however you want to do it. But the two that make the most sense would be Cap or RDJ, and I think either one of them leaving on a slab would suck.
Yeah. And I mean, and then there's always the minor characters or secondary characters that are in the cast. You got Vision, you got Hawkeye.
Right.
And I don't see them killing off Rhodey.
No, not if they were gonna do it, they would have done Civil War.
Yeah. And I've seen the images. So they got a solution for Rhodey in his back leg problem.
Yeah, I saw that.
My hope is that Shuri kind of steps in and corrects that. Because,
I just think that kind of sucks. I could see that.
Yeah. Because that would kind of suck. Like, Ross got his deal and he got saved. So, you know, you would hope they would come through for my man Rhodey.
Help a brother out, as it were.
but it's gonna be interesting to see how this movie unfolds. I'm excited, man. I cannot wait. I think I'm gonna take another day off for this one. So yeah. Oh man. So next up from that interview, Kevin Feige is also alluding to the fact that the Wakanda scene, the Infinity Wars, will be the Infinity Wars whole third act. That whole like war scene basically that we see in the trailer that takes place in Wakanda will be the Infinity Wars third act, and that's going to be pretty powerful.
Because
I mean, like, the way that it's looking, it's like this is the last stand type of deal. And that's the way that they've been kind of explaining it in these interviews. Wakanda is the last defense. So, you know, everybody's kind of like rallying here and they're going to make their last stand against Thanos. But we know it's not going to end pretty for them. So,
no. Look, the honest answer is going to be a lot of dead Wakandans.
It's going to be rough. I think though that this goes to what I was saying before about, you know, Black Panther 2. You know what I'm saying? This will very much feed into what happens in the sequel. I'm sure there's going to this whole war is going to have repercussions to the state of mind of the people of Wakanda and their faith in their king and their faith in Wakanda moving forward. So it's like it's definitely going to have some interesting tones moving forward in the story. So I'm looking forward to seeing how that unfolds.
I don't disagree. I could very easily see that being the major story as far as Black Panther 2 comes around. It's the fallout from this movie.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's all the information that we got from that EW interview. So when we find out more stuff about Infinity War, we let you guys know. But this is definitely one to behold.
It's going to be epic.
Yes, indeed. We're getting news about the Spawn reboot by Blumhouse. It may actually start shooting this spring, which is great news. And it's great news that it's being handled by Blumhouse because they've been making solid blockbuster horror films for the past couple of years. And they are pretty much now the household name in horror right now. So, right. You know, Spawn getting into this production house is going to be definitely good for it. So, Todd McFarlane's definitely been hitting around a very dark R-rated horror superhero film that we're going to be able to take a look at. So, I'm looking forward to seeing how it goes. I mean, he's been pushing names like Jamie Foxx and Leo DiCaprio. I'm sure it's all wishful thinking, but I'm sure Jamie Foxx would get behind something like this, and he would actually be great with something like this. If he doesn't take Blade, I would love for him to take Blade, but you know,
I'm not a real big Jamie Foxx fan personally.
Man,
I don't think he's terrible. I just don't think he's right for some of the stuff.
I think you're still reeling from the Spider-Man Electro.
Look, I liked him a lot in Baby Driver.
Mm-hmm.
I thought he was great in that particular kind of role. I think he's very funny in the Horrible Bosses movies.
Yeah.
You know, just playing that like wannabe gangster full of S, you know, character. He's very good at that. I just don't see him as a full-out action star like Blade or like Spawn. I don't see him in those roles. Maybe it's me. I just don't see it.
He's got a couple of dark, gritty action films that have been released within the past couple of years. I know they weren't well received, but I've been hearing a lot from the people that actually did watch it. Said they enjoyed it. They said it was good as far as the action is concerned. So I don't know. I'm gonna give him the benefit of the doubt. Yeah. I mean, for Spawn, it might work.
I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Because he might end up picking somebody completely different anyway, so it won't even matter.
More than likely, yeah.
Yeah. Next up, we might be getting a Fantastic Beast trailer soon. It looks like the teaser is going to be released on tomorrow, actually, March 13th. Oh, wow. Nice. Yeah, so we'll be getting a teaser for Fantastic Beast on March 13th, so look for that. Looking forward to that because we've been hearing so much about the behind the scenes and the casting, so it's good that now we're gonna have some images to go with the movie. So that always marks that the movie's gonna be coming out soon. So I'm looking forward to that.
Definitely, first one was kind of a surprise to me. Like I've seen all the Harry Potters. I'm not a huge fan. Like I've never read the books because I don't
have
the patience to sit and read the books, but. I initially wasn't going to see Fantastic Beasts because I wasn't all that into it, but I did get a copy of it to watch it. I actually really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely check out the second one.
The casting alone in this movie is definitely something to consider because you got Johnny Depp as Grindelwald, and you got, what's his name? From Sherlock Holmes, he played Watson. With Robert Downey Jr.
With Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law.
Jude Law, yeah. Jude Law is going to be, Dumbledore, yeah.
Yes, that's right. He's going to be Dumbledore.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that unfolds. Return of Newt Scamander. I mean, Newt was, like, definitely an unexpected role. I love that character, so I can't wait to see more of him. I'm kind of hoping that it doesn't become the Dumbledore Grindelwald show and that we at least get to look at the story unfolding through the eyes of Newt. So as long as they don't overpower his character, I'm good. So
yeah, as long as they kind of keep him with that quirkiness that he's got, it'll be a much better movie. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Last up in movie news, we got some Wonder Woman 2 casting news. Patty Jenkins comes out and confirms that Kristen Wiig will be playing Cheetah, the villain of Wonder Woman 2.
Okay. I mean, what else can I say at this point? But I'm also hearing originally they said it was going to be set in the Cold War era.
Yeah.
Now I'm hearing it's going to be set in the 80s. Oh, wow. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Look, my concerns initially are for the character itself. I get that it's the big bad from Wonder Woman, like, all the time.
Right.
But, you know, hopefully they're not going to try to make it a half cat, half human thing, because I don't think that'll look right on screen. I don't know what they
call those characters, like anim somethings.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
If you do it as a suit, you know, kind of a Black Panther-ish kind of thing, it might make a lot more sense.
Right.
Although people are, you know, clearly going to say you're stealing from Black Panther, but what are you going to do? You don't have a whole lot of
So many big cats out there, guys.
Right. You know, I think if you try to CGI it, it's just, you know, we know DC doesn't spend a lot of money on their CGI. It's just not going to look good. Plus, it's going to be too hokey, I think, for a movie. Although, you know, look, they made Doomsday terrible. So, you never know. But I'm just not a big Kristen Wiig fan to begin with. So, I don't know how this is going to turn out. I could be wrong. I could be 100% wrong. I just don't see that one going too well.
I'm hoping that I'm just really ready for the DCEU to be under new management, at least as far as production is concerned. The way that it's going, I slowly but surely see Greg Berlanti taking more and more risks as far as his career is concerned. Like, he's stepping out now, and I believe he's directing and writing the movie that's coming out this weekend called Love, Simon. So he's trying to make that move into the big leagues, and hopefully it ups his resume, and DC sees Berlanti and says, you know, this guy's ready for the big time. We need to give him big budget shows. So I'm just hoping that they give him the opportunity to tell his story the way that he's been telling it on the small screen, and allow him to translate and expand it into the big screen. So
yeah. I'd like to see him get the opportunity for sure, because he's definitely doing it right on
the Arrowverse.
On the Arrowverse, thank you. I don't know why I blanked for a second there, but I don't know, man. They got to do something, because it's just not good right now. Not good at all.
Well, let's step into our specialty item today. So the professor has come up with an ingenious idea that will span for this week and in the next episode that we do. And basically what we're going to do is we're going to do a Marvel DCEU mashup recasting. So basically the rules are this. We are going to fan cast today. We're going to do DCEU roles. So Justice League, Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Wonder Woman. We're going to recast all of these characters within this universe, only using cast members that are currently employed by the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
That's right.
Yes.
So it just struck me as an interesting idea, because I know we've kind of fan cast both of these. I don't know if we did a recast on the Avengers, but we did a recast on Justice League.
Yeah. I think we did them on both, yeah.
I just thought about it. It'd be kind of interesting to see if we could cast the DC movies using the Marvel actors, and then next week, you know, flip it and do the Marvel movies using DC actors. Now we went with what I think is the easier option this week, casting the DCEU with Marvel actors.
Yep.
Because I started trying to think of the other way around, and man, that's going to take some work. But we got a lot of names on this one, so maybe we should just dive right into it. I think I did some good work here. Let's see what we got.
All right. So okay. So how you want to do this? You want to start off first, or you want me to roll it off first and start character by character?
Yeah, we can go one. We'll go one for one. We'll go one for one on our options. So
okay.
I will, since it's my little gig, I'll start off here.
Okay.
I'll start with Superman, and I think Superman was the easiest option.
Right.
It's kind of hard not to go with Chris Evans as Superman.
Right, right.
You have to dye his hair, maybe, but, you know, look, Captain America and Superman are very similar to the same character. So.
Yeah, yeah.
So Chris Evans was definitely my choice for Superman.
Yeah, yeah. Same here. Chris Evans, it just seemed like the right choice. Superman is a very patriotic character, even though he is, for all intents and purposes, an immigrant, and he just believes in everything that is right with this country, and it just feels so much like Captain America that I think Chris Evans should be in this role.
Yeah, I think I don't think you could really pick anybody better as far as choosing to play Superman.
Yeah, yeah. So, second up, we'll do Batman.
All right.
So my pick for this was fairly simple. And it just kind of made sense. I needed somebody who was dark and brooding, and, you know, still, you know, had that ruthlessness to him. But, you know, there's still still had that rule of law. And I'm going with Sebastian Stan, and he played the Winter Soldier. And it just makes sense. Chris
That's
Evans,
hilarious.
Superman, Sebastian Stan.
It really does. You know, I was thinking about this morning. I was talking to our buddy JR about it. He's actually the one who gave me the idea. I can't say that I said it myself. He actually, I think, was the one who jumped up and said Sebastian Stan.
Nice.
And as soon as he said it, I was like, you know what? It's brilliant.
Yeah.
He really has that perfect kind of darkness side to him. But as well as he could be that kind of, like, outgoing, you know, billionaire type. Like, he wouldn't play it more like Affleck, I don't think. I think he'd probably play it more like Michael Keaton. That was the other one I was funny with. I was like, well, for casting Batman, why don't you just give it to Michael Keaton? He's an MCU.
True.
If you go with an older Batman, you go with Michael Keaton. So that would make sense, too. But I think Stan is the better option here if you're going with the younger cast.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's very funny that we both picked the same one.
Yeah, yeah.
So I guess next we'll jump into with Wonder Woman. Mm-hmm. This was a little bit tougher trying to think about it. I was trying to think if you went with the regular classic character setup It's a lot harder because I can't really see too many people who would have been the right choice for it. So mm-hmm. I kind of went out of the box. We kind of talked about it. We kind of agreed. I kind of went out of the box, and I picked Zoe Saldana. I think would be very good, you know, as Wonder Woman. I think she's got kind of that right attitude. You know, again, it's one of those where everybody's going to have to accept that it's a switch, you know, get over it to some extent. There is a Black Wonder Woman in the comics these days, I believe. There was one in the Injustice comics. So
she's actually a long-standing character within the Wonder Woman universe. Nubia plays Wonder Woman. Well, Diana's like sister in the comics, and she dons the helm of Wonder Woman for a time.
Yeah. So you would have to get away from Diana Prince, which really wouldn't be that big a deal.
Right.
I think she'd be pretty interesting. She might have to bulk up a little bit. I'm sure people would complain. Not that Gal Gadot's that big either, but I think she'd be pretty good. I can't really see anybody else who would fit it as well as she would. So I went with Zoe Saldana.
Yeah. So I got two picks for Wonder Woman. My first pick is stemming out of a long standing internet debate that's been going on since Black Panther came out, and it's about who would win in a fight, and it's Wonder Woman or Okoye. And basically it gets down to the point where we start where somebody comes out and says it in the best way possible. It's like they wouldn't fight, they would actually team up and kill everybody.
That's probably true. Yes,
this is very true. So for me, my first pick for Wonder Woman would be Danai Gurira. She plays Okoye in Black Panther. I think she would be an incredible Wonder Woman. No matter what plot you want to follow, whatever the case may be, she just has the poise. She has the stance. She just looks like royal, especially the way that she conducts her action scenes. My second pick would actually be Jamie Alexander. She played Lady Sif in the first Thor.
I didn't even think about her. Yeah.
So I digged in the bag and found somebody who I thought would actually be perfect right now. She's on NBC's Blind Spot, and she's killing it right now. As far as action is concerned, she is tough. Her hits look like they hurt. And for me, she would be an excellent Wonder Woman if given the opportunity.
She's got a good look to her too. She'd be good at it.
So next up, we got the Flash, and I got two picks for Flash. So my second pick is kind of just like a whatever, just kind of threw him out there. But my first pick for Flash, hands down, is Tom Holland.
That's hilarious.
Tom Holland, and even if you look at the Flash in the DCEU, Spider-Man and Flash almost like beat for beat similar characters as far as the levity that they bring to the cast, the intelligence that they bring to the cast, and just this neighborhood superhero that you want to see. So Tom Holland would definitely be a great Barry Allen. If not Tom Holland, if you want to go a little older, I'd go with Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd could definitely pull off the comedy and, you know, the awkwardness of Barry Allen, but the short upness that he has, he knows what he's doing and he does it well. And I think that either one of those guys would be great as the Flash.
That's so funny. Tom Holland is exactly who I picked for the Flash. He's just got that quirkiness that you'd want.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that science geek feel to him, a little bit on the younger side, but that's okay. I think he would be a perfect Flash. I think he'd be fantastic. So that's fine. It's exactly who I picked.
Yeah.
So next we went with the King of Atlantis. We went with Aquaman. This one took me a couple minutes to kind of ponder around, and I figured, you know what? We've already got another king who's already kind of played throughout the Marvel universe. So
yep.
I went with the big Aussie. I went with Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah.
I think he could easily pull off being the King of Atlantis. You know, he's got the size. He can play that regal kind of part to it and also be kind of silly on the side. So I went with Chris Hemsworth for Aquaman.
Yeah, same for me. I went with Chris Hemsworth. I thought he was a perfect mashup for Aquaman. And as far as making that transition from Thor to being Arthur Curry, he would be perfect as Aquaman. So, yeah, Chris Hemsworth is definitely a pick for me.
Yep.
Next up, we got Cyborg. Cyborg was a little harder to pick for me at first, but once I really looked at everybody that's in the MCU, past, present, future, here, gone, whatever the case may be. This person stood out to me, and actually, he already has credits as voicing Cyborg.
Oh, okay.
And the person that I picked was Michael B. Jordan.
Think about him. Excellent.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan would be a perfect Cyborg as far as Victor is concerned. He's already played the role before. He played a Cyborg in the Flashpoint movie, animated movie that came out. Okay. So he did the voice for Cyborg in that film, and he was perfect. I mean, he would be perfect for this role, and you would definitely be able to explore the character of Victor as he transitions from a football player to this superhero that just adapts to any type of situation. So Michael B. Jordan's my pick for Cyborg.
Excellent pick. I went with a little older. I went with the War Machine. I picked Don Cheadle. I love Don Cheadle anyway. So I just think if you're going to go maybe with a little bit older, you know, just Don Cheadle could pretty much play anything just about. So I think he would fit real well as a Cyborg character.
Yeah,
I didn't even think about Michael B. Jordan. That would have been perfect.
Yeah, it was either going to be Michael B. Jordan or it was going to be the guy that played M'Baku. So on Black Panther.
Big Cyborg.
Yeah, it'd be a huge Cyborg. But Cyborg was huge in Flashpoint.
True. So let's jump down then. We'll go next is Lex.
Yep.
So I have two options for Lex. One, okay, I think is more obvious than the other. So I think the first obvious pick for Lex Luthor is probably Benedict Cumberbatch.
Okay.
To play Lex Luthor. He's got the sinister ability. He's got the look. He's got the voice. But I think... even because I think that's a little too obvious, I think my option that I would go with would actually be Ed Norton.
Oh.
I think Ed Norton would be a great Lex Luthor.
He actually would.
Because he's got that ability to go stoic and kind of, you know, public face, you know, what's the one I'm looking for? You know, mugging up to the press.
Yeah.
Kind of guy. I think Ed Norton would be a great Lex Luthor.
Yeah, he would. Hands down.
I think he would be my main choice, would be Ed Norton.
Yeah. Lex Luthor, I had a little bit difficult time trying to pick. The actor that I'm using for this one is an actor that was a front runner, like no questions asked for another role. So I just like, all right, well, he's already playing one bad guy for me. I'll put him as another bad guy. Right. And I picked Tom Hiddleston. Hiddleston to me would be a good Lex Luthor. I feel like Lex and Loki are very similar in the way that they do business. It's a cold, calculated, I'm looking out for me. Everybody else can be secondary type of character to me. So I picked Tom Hiddleston, but he's going to be my runner. He's going to be my main runner for another character, but we'll get to that later.
Oh yeah, he's been picked, and he's not gonna be anybody on this side is gonna be better for that role that I think we've talked about before.
Yeah.
So
all right, so next up we got Zod. We got General Zod from the Man of Steel.
This was a tough one.
Superman's main nemesis. And it's kind of weird how everything is kind of unfolding for me because I picked him because he's this presence. Like, this guy is a beast. When you see him on screen, he's automatically intimidating. I went with the man of the franchises, Hugo Weaving.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. I went with Hugo Weaving for Zod. Because I think that when I think of, like, the action, the way that he stands, I think of Agent Smith. But then there's like the cold calculating aspect of him that is Red Skull. So I would definitely go with Hugo Weaving. So he already played Chris Evans' nemesis once. He can do it again.
Okay. So I also went with a bigger actor, size-wise, that is. but it took me a little bit to come up with him. But I'm sat there and I'm thinking. And I went, oh, I got it. I went with the villain from the first Guardians of the Galaxy movie. I went with Lee Pace, who played Ronan from Guardians.
Yeah,
because he's a big dude, and if you see him without all the makeup on, he's got the right kind of look, you know, facially and kind of setup. I think Lee Pace would be great playing Zod.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that was my pick was Lee Pace.
Okay, okay.
So then we jump to Aries. Now, Aries I have two options for, two very different options for, depending on how you want to look at it. Now, my Aries is never going to be the little British guy. You know, he could be that guy at some point, but he's going to transfer, transform into this character at some point. So for the God of War, my first option was Vin Diesel.
Oh, okay.
Strictly because he's got the size and the voice and would be able to pull off that character pretty well. My next option, however, I think would be even better and more fun. He doesn't necessarily have the size, but he's definitely got the voice and the acting skills.
Okay.
Is Chiwetel Ekafor.
Okay.
To play Ares, the God of War. I think he would be awesome as that, as that character. So those were my two choices, Vin Diesel and Chiwetel.
Okay. So I just did a last-minute switch of my choices for Ares.
Okay.
And so I'll share with you what my original picks were. My original picks were going to be between Benedict Cumberbatch and Paul Bettany. But that was before I got an extensive list of every actor in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Okay.
So my two picks for Ares, I'll say this is my runner up. My runner up is going to be Ray Stevenson, and he played Volstagg on Thor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so he played Volstagg on Thor. He also played Frank Castle at one point for the Punisher, one of the Punisher movies. He's a big imposing guy. He is terrifying in some of his roles. I think Volstagg was a very soft role for him. But I think he could pull off the boldness and just brassness of Ares. The way that I would like to see him portrayed on film. Now, if you want to go a little bit colder, a little bit more calculating, a little bit more scheming, I would lean on Idris Elba to play the role of Ares.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think we could get a very... there was this movie I saw with Idris Elba in it, and it was a thriller. I can't remember the name of it. But he plays this character that kind of comes up to this woman's house, breaks into her house, and basically terrorizes her for the entire movie. And
that was within the last couple of years too.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't remember
the name of the movie. No Good Deed. That's what
okay.
it was.
Okay.
Yeah, it was No Good Deed, and he was terrorizing Taraji P. Henson in that movie, and. And he was scary as all get out. So I would definitely put him in the role of Ares if we were going to do that. So, yeah.
Okay, I can see it.
Yeah. All right, so next up is Steppenwolf. Now, Steppenwolf, we're going to just say, okay, he can be just a voice. We never see him in any type of human-type form. We just see him in this alien form.
Right.
So if I was going to get anybody to do the voice of Steppenwolf, and I'm pretty sure the professor has the same pick as me, I'm going with Clancy Brown, the man with the voice.
You know what? I didn't even think of that.
Yeah. If I'm gonna hear Steppenwolf, yeah, it's gotta be Clancy Brown. That voice is recognizable and it strikes fear in the hearts of men.
Wow. I mean, I have two options here.
Okay, okay.
That I think voice-wise are pretty good compared to Clancy as well. So initially, my first choice was Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, yeah.
He's just the voice in a lot of this stuff. So he would be good as just the voice. My second option, oddly enough, you already picked for somebody else, was Idris Elba.
Oh, okay.
To be the voice for Steppenwolf. I think he would also be. I wasn't even thinking about Clancy Brown. That's just silly to pick anybody other than him for that kind of setup, because he's just got the perfect voice for it, especially, you know, having the Kurgan voice. Steppenwolf is just perfect.
Yeah.
So that's a good call.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Idris is pretty good, though, because the work that he did on the Jungle Book is Shere Khan and then Benedict Cumberbatch, what he did in The Hobbit is Smaug.
The Hobbit is Smaug, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, these are some pretty terrifying voices.
It'd be hard. It's hard to pick one of those three for sure. You can't do it.
Yeah.
So we did. We also picked. Well, you should. I should say you picked a bunch of bonus options, which was some good choices. So we'll go into the first one with that. We picked for Deadshot.
Yeah.
So my pick for Deadshot is going more kind of back towards the classic Deadshot. I went with Jeremy Renner.
Hey.
I think Jeremy Renner would be great. Is that how you picked him?
Yeah.
It's kind of scary how close we are on so many of these.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, man. Yeah, but I picked Jeremy Renner, too. Like, he's perfect for Deadshot. I mean, like,
completely.
The translation from Hawkeye to Deadshot, and then when you think of Renner's work as on the Bourne, what is it, the Bourne something?
He was in one of the Bournes.
Bournes. Yeah. But like his work there, like that's basically Deadshot to me. So
basically,
I put him in there easy. Next up, we got Killer Croc.
I'm gonna guess Killer Croc nailed this one.
Yeah,
together
Killer
too.
Croc was simple, so I'm pretty sure we got the same guy to play Killer Croc. I picked Dave Bautista.
Yeah, I mean, there's nobody else who's got the right size to play the character.
Yeah,
for sure.
And it's not like you're demanding Oscar-worthy performances from Killer Croc. So.
Right, exactly. So next on the list is the mega popular female character, Harley Quinn. This one, I'll say it right away. I went with Scarlett Johansson. I think she's the one of all of the actresses in the MCU who's just got the right kind of voice as far as kind of given the Harley Quinn character more that kind of, you know, sex appeal they go for all the time. She's got kind of that smoky attitude towards her. You know, I thought that was the obvious choice for me personally, but you went a different direction, I believe.
I went a different direction. I picked two different actresses who I thought could have played Harley Quinn. My first choice for Harley Quinn is going to be Karen Gillan. And she plays Nebula on the Guardians of the Galaxy. I think she would be perfect for Harley Quinn, especially if you want to go like her work on Doctor Who, like reminds me of the classic Harley that we were introduced to in the animated series.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Okay,
so I would lean more on her for that. She can get brooding when she wants to, but she has like this. Like, she has, like, this appeal that she has when she acts. Like, she could just snap on you like that, and it's a wrap.
Okay.
So she's my first pick. My second pick for Harley Quinn would have been Elizabeth Olsen. Because I think she'd be able to pull off the, like, if I could equate her to a specific Harley type, it would be the Injustice Harley. I think she would be a good Injustice Harley. Okay, so it just depends on what direction you want to go. So next up we got the Enchantress. And I only picked one person for this because it just made sense. Cate Blanchett would be the perfect Enchantress.
Wow.
And she would probably do it sans gyrating because I didn't need that. I just felt like that was so weird.
That was awful is what it was.
I said, what is she doing? Is she on something?
That movie. Oh my god, that movie.
Oh man.
So I went with Enchantress. I went Witch for Witch. This is where I plugged in Elizabeth Olsen.
Oh.
I thought if you're going with a little bit of a younger character, somebody who's kind of already done that witch type character, clear the Scarlet Witch. I thought Elizabeth Olsen would be good here to pop in. So
yeah, and that actually makes more sense than Cate Blanchett because Cate Blanchett could play the Enchantress, but to actually play the Doctor who she is when she's not the witch, I think Elizabeth Olsen would be a better choice there.
I could see that being a two-part character. That'd be pretty cool, actually. I could see that.
Yeah.
So then we jump down to Captain Boomerang. Captain Boomerang, kind of a throwaway character, ultimately. I mean, let's be totally honest about it.
Not as throwaway as Slipknot.
Not as throwaway as Slipknot, that's for sure.
R.I.P.
Yeah, right? So I thought about, and I thought the best person to fit in here, this is where I put in Paul Rudd. I thought Paul Rudd would probably be pretty good as Captain Boomerang. Kind of takes himself too seriously, but can ultimately be pretty dangerous with what he's got kind of character. So I went with Paul Rudd for Captain Boomerang.
Okay. Captain Boomerang, I'm not even going to hold you. I just phoned it in at this point. So I was like, well, he's Australian. So who's the other Australian in the cast?
Oh, no, you didn't.
Chris Hemsworth.
Oh, my God.
This is the one that I told you like was a gross misuse.
Yes, it certainly is.
Oh, man. So, yeah, I put Chris Hemsworth, probably not even number one, because I just feel like this is an abuse. Like, both of these actors, this is an abuse.
Yeah. It's,
and my second pick was Paul Bettany, because I've seen him play the muscle character before, and I feel like Captain Boomerang would be that silent muscle. Like, not so much silent, because he was anything but in the movie.
Yeah.
But, like, the muscle character who just, like, hey, he's one of these knock-around guys. Like, that's... that's how he is. I think Paul Bettany could pull that off.
I got you. I'm okay with that. Okay with that.
Yeah. So next up, we
stole mine here. I know you did.
We got the Joker. And I'm hands down. Ever since you told me about this pick that you had, I was just like, I can't really see anybody else playing this role. Like, this literally, I'm just trying to think, can I throw out somebody in the Marvel Universe?
It's cool. You can take it. It's cool.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to go with Tom Hiddleston on this one.
There's no question.
Yeah, there is no question. This man could play this role in a heartbeat and play circles around Jared Leto.
Oh, without even breaking a sweat.
Yeah.
He would be 10 times better than Jared Leto would ever be as a Joker.
Yep.
There's just no question in my mind.
Yeah,
so that was one that I saw. Somebody did a fan art piece a while ago of him with the Joker makeup on, holding up a Joker card. That's just amazing.
Yeah,
just the look is perfect. He would be fantastic because he's able to, like, just the way he plays Loki with that, you know, disarming smile that you know is just crap, and you know, and turning into a murderous rage in a heartbeat. Hiddleston would be perfect.
Yeah, definitely.
So next we have Rick Flagg. Rick Flagg, a little tough for me because I only know it from Suicide Squad, which is a movie I hated. So throwing somebody in there is a little tougher. But so I sat back and thought, all right, military veteran, you know, skilled fighter, blah, blah, blah. I went with Josh Brolin.
Okay.
A little bit older than what Rick Flagg would normally be. But I went with Brolin. I think he would fit pretty well. You know, coming off Cable, you know, he'd be able to easily play Rick Flagg.
Yeah, definitely. For Rick Flagg, I picked who I felt was underused in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Guy Pearce from Iron Man 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Guy Pearce has had some very interesting roles over the past couple years, and he's played characters that are like just, you know, they're dickheads at first, but then they kind of grow on you and they have this heart of gold type of deal, except for when he was in Iron Man. He was like completely unredeemable in Iron Man, but it is what it is.
But
he's got the build and he's got the personality to play Rick Flagg. You could see him having a tender side with Enchantress, but he's also tough as nails and ready to, and like somebody who I believe could lead this ragtag group of just heartless villains. Guy Pearce would definitely be able to do that for me.
I could see that.
And last for me, we have Amanda Waller, who was originally played by Viola Davis, kills the role. So it's like, oh, who are we gonna find to play Amanda Waller? She's already played Amanda Waller technically in the DC. Well, not in the DCEU, but in a DC movie, Green Lantern, right. I'm going to go with Angela Bassett.
It's an excellent. You can't really go wrong picking her for anything. So
yeah, you really can't.
No, it's an excellent choice. So I went with who I think we talked about before as being the perfect cast for. I went with Alfred Woodard. She's just the same. Like, if you look at her on the Luke Cage TV show.
Oh, yeah.
She's basically Amanda Waller, ultimately, you know, on that show. So I think her transition from that character to Amanda Waller would be really, really easy. And for those of you who are questioning me, saying that's not part of the MCU, you're correct. But she was in Civil War. She was in Age of Ultron at the very beginning, talking to Tony outside the elevator. She was the kid's father, the kid's mother who gets killed in Sokovia. So she is part of the MCU. Don't mess with me. I know that
one. Yeah. So watch it again.
That's right.
Wrong.
That's right. I added two more names on my own to this list, which I mean, you can come up with on the fly if you want. You don't have to.
Yeah, yeah. I'll just throw some up.
We throw some up real quick. So, look, eventually we're going to get Green Lantern, right? So eventually you're going to need to cast Green Lantern. I don't think there's anybody in the MCU who would play a better Hal Jordan than Chris Pratt when it came right down to it. You know, I mean, Reynolds, look, the movie was terrible, but Reynolds wasn't that bad as Hal Jordan.
Yeah.
Chris Pratt is essentially Ryan Reynolds in a different body. So I think Chris Pratt would be great as Green Lantern.
Ha. I got you. I got you. Okay. I'll see your Chris Pratt. And I'll raise you a Nathan Fillion for Green Lantern.
See? Okay. Okay.
Because he was in Guardians of the Galaxy. I forgot
he
about
was.
That.
He was a voice. That's true. That is
and
true.
And he's been doing the voice of Green Lantern. You know, throw my man in the gym. Get him together. We good.
Could happen. I can see it. So the last one I cast was Alfred. And I think this is probably the easiest of all of them. If you're going to cast Alfred for an MCU character, you almost have to use Paul Bettany.
Yeah.
I think he's just the perfect option to play that character. So I went with Paul Bettany as Alfred.
Okay. So our Batman pick was Sebastian Stan, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I have two picks for Alfred that we could use.
Okay.
Now, as I say this, I only have one actor.
I'll let you get away with it. I'm going to pull him out,
and let's see what happens. Okay, so my first pick for Alfred would be Sir Anthony Hopkins.
I can't argue that.
Yeah, I think he would be a great Alfred. You could definitely see him at one point snapping on Bruce if he needs to. And, sure. You know, in great Anthony Hopkins style, he'll do it. My second pick would be Benicio del Toro. I think that he might be able to pull that off. And he played the Collector in Guardians of the Galaxy, if you guys can't remember. But I think that he could play a very stoic, straight to the point type of Alfred. So, yeah.
And it was Civil War. Sorry, with Alfred Woodward. Now I'm thinking about it.
Yeah, anyway, Civil War. Yeah,
you are correct. Yeah, I think they would both be very good for Alfred.
Yeah, yeah. So that's it.
There we go. We did pretty well. Next week, much more difficult. look, if you're looking to see who we think could play Iron Man from the DCEU. Keep thinking, because there's nobody in the DCU who could play Iron Man. I can tell you that.
Nobody.
I will tell you that this week, that I will certainly not be picking an Iron Man for next week.
Oh, man. We're going to have to be able to pull from movies that have not come out yet. Like, just the casts that have already been established.
Yeah, ultimately, you know, The Rock will end up somewhere, because he's going to be a good choice somewhere, because he hasn't been. But he's part of the DCU, technically, so.
Yeah, yeah.
So we can go with that. We can work. We can make it work.
Yeah, definitely. All right, so let's take a look at what's coming out this week. Nothing big in TV or games. I know that there's a new update for Assassin's Creed Origins that's coming out. It's going to be a add-on. I think it's Tomb of the Dead Pharaohs or something like that.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So you got that, and then you got the Trial of the Gods coming out where you'll be able to battle Sekhmet on hard. And get an opportunity to get a new weapon. It's called the Sword of the Duat. So, yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, man. I'm looking forward to that one. So, had to dust off the Origins and put it back in the box. coming out movies this week, we got Tomb Raider finally coming out. We've been watching all these trailers. I don't know about everybody else, but I've been kind of getting excited about Alicia Vikander taking on the role of Lara Croft. At first, I was not a believer, but as I saw her develop into this role, she is taking it on. She is doing most, if not all, of her stunts in this film. This woman is a beast. I cannot wait to see her take on Lara Croft.
You know, watching the trailers, man, she looks like she's going to be pretty good. I have to admit.
Her trap game is ridiculous. You see her traps? Like, jeez.
And no, he's not talking about something else. He's legitimately talking about her traps.
Yo, her neck is like so thick, yo. I can't wait to see her punch somebody in this movie. Oh man. But yeah, like she's been taking up archery. She's been doing most of her stunts. So I'm excited, man. I dare say this might be it. This might be the game adaptation that we have been looking for.
This could finally be it.
Yup. This could be the movie that makes game adaptations get taken seriously. I thought it was going to be Assassin's Creed, but that didn't work out the way I planned. So, yeah. If this doesn't work out, we got Uncharted, okay?
That's right. So. That's right. We got some hope left, people.
Yup. Oh, man. So, you know, hopefully I'll try to get out and see that at some point, and we'll talk about it. So yeah. Let's do some reviews.
Okay.
And go through a couple of the items that we've seen. Let me see. I think I'm missing something. Oh, there we go. Gotta move some stuff around. But yeah, all right, so let's get in it. All right, so first up, I will briefly talk about this because I know the professor doesn't really talk about this show or watch this show much anymore. Gotham.
Yeah, I don't watch it at all.
So I recently had to catch back up with Gotham. They had Professor Pig on there. I had to catch up with that, see what was going on. And I've really been getting back into the show. Like, I fell off for a little bit only because there's so much on. It's just like you watch one or you watch the other. You don't really get an opportunity to watch both of them at the same time. Because it's like, even with DVR, it's a matter of sitting down and watching all of these things. So I managed to get back into Gotham, binge watched all the episodes that I missed. And I'm really like, this show has always been strong for me. Just out of the pure character development. I love where they're going with all the characters. To watch Bruce's growth and to hope that one day he becomes the man that we all know and love as Bruce Wayne, the Batman. It's really a joy to see on TV. It's like you're watching this kid go through all the different changes that he's going through. And for the past couple episodes, I mean, he's pretty much been, he's been the playboy. He's been the billionaire playboy. That's what he's been doing. He's been, you know, drowning himself in alcohol, staying out, doing drugs. Like, he is really just out there destroying himself.
Isn't and it's like 15?
Like, yo, man. I think he's like 16 or 17 now.
Oh, that's better.
Yeah. No, not at all. Right, so it's just like he basically right out the gate, he buys a club. Like, he just buys a club because he's trying to get in and he's trying to hang with the cool kids, and they're all getting in, but they won't let him in. So he buys the club, kicks the guy that wouldn't let him. Like, you could see Bruce going into full douchebag mode, and it's just like it's so much fun. It's like, yo, this is basically how he's going to set up that persona. But he's also using it to cover up a hurt that he's dealing with. And so it's just like watching that character development is pretty fun. Watching Jerome come back is a joy. Like, I was always worried that we wouldn't see Jerome again. But Jerome, who is like not even from, apparently he's not the Joker, but he is the catalyst for the Joker. But this kid pretty much embodies every incarnation of the Joker that's ever been on screen.
Yeah, he's not the Joker. They've just done just about every single Joker storyline with the same character. But he's not the Joker. So, you know, of course, it makes perfect sense.
I mean, these are just rumors that I'm hearing, so I don't really know for sure. I'm assuming that this cat is the Joker, but they're saying like, oh, no, he's not the Joker. He might be the catalyst for the Joker. Who knows? But as far as I'm concerned, He's got the flaming hair. He's got the big smile on his face. He's the Joker.
Yeah, from what I have seen, come on, the kid's the Joker.
They went so far as to
the whole cutting his face off storyline.
Oh yeah, like that was ripped from the comics.
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying? The kid's the Joker. Just stop playing around. Kid's the Joker. Enough.
I think they're trying to hide stuff, but it's too late. Cat's out of the bag. Watching Poison Ivy's storyline is definitely interesting. Like, to see how they make her character do age jumps, from just this little shy introverted girl to this very extroverted woman that's basically fighting for the environment that's around her, in a very dark way. It's incredible to watch these characters grow. Watching the Selina Kyle character become more and more of the Catwoman that we know and love. And the girl looks like Michelle Pfeiffer. Like, it's kind of scary.
Yeah, she
kind of
does. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, it's so cool seeing all of these cats. The Penguin's always a joy to see. The Riddler's great to see. I know that you have problems with the Butch character becoming Solomon Grundy.
Lazy.
But the way that they do it, it works for me. I basically, what I do is I treat this as an Elseworld type of thing. So I don't, like, I'm not going to see the story unfold the way that I've originally, you know, come to enjoy the story being unfolded. But it's a nice little Elseworlds where we focus on Jim's character. But watching Jim Gordon rise through the ranks and change Gotham PD for the better, it's there's a reason why Batman trusts this man. And it's like, it's beautiful to see that unfold, because at one point Jim got real dark. He was a real dark character, but to watch him kind of like shine now, and get to the point where he can be, and now we're getting little bits and little intros to the Batman character. So hopefully within the next couple of seasons, we could be seeing this show end. You know what I'm saying? Because they did say it was going to end as soon as he dons the cowl and the cape and the symbol. So once we see him in the traditional Batman garb, the show's over. So,
oh boy.
I mean, if the money is right, they probably going to keep it going and, you know, jump the proverbial shark. And we'll watch the show go down in the tubes, but here's hoping that it stays afloat for a little while.
Because I saw an image. I guess he's got the mustache now.
No. That was actually a hallucination that was going. He was experiencing that, and Jim had the mustache.
Okay, because it looked awful.
Yeah, no, that was short lived. That was literally like a minute.
Okay, good.
Oh man. So next up, let's talk about the Flash. Yo.
I'm in on this one for sure.
This has to be the single greatest episode of this entire series. I'm gonna go and say that.
It was really, really, whoever wrote that, they need to have them write more.
Yeah. Because
it was really, really good.
Yeah, man. It was filler. It was a filler.
Essentially, what's technically a throwaway show, so that the whole season is not about the same thing for the entire time. And it was so well done. I mean, you could really just kind of feel that whole stress that everybody's going through. You're almost holding your breath watching this episode. Look, it's a TV show. You know, ultimately, what's going to happen is they're going to save the world. There's no question that's what's going to happen when it starts. But it's that whole idea of, we have no idea how they're going to do this.
Right.
It was amazing. It was really well written, really well done, really well acted. You know, it's going to be tough for them to top that show, because that particular episode, because it was really, really good.
Yeah. It really pushed a lot of the actors to the limit. And plus, we got an opportunity to really look at the abilities of the Flash in the deepest way possible, man.
Well, and you see that he's got his limits.
Yeah.
Like, there's a limit to his ability to move at that speed for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
You know, all right, mild spoilers if you haven't seen the episode yet. You might want to stop listening after 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Okay. The premise of the episode is somebody steals an Argus truck that happens to have a nuclear bomb on it. They try to stop them. Before he can get to them, they set the bomb off. So Barry goes into flash time, they call it, quote unquote, where he's moving faster than everything else in the entire world. And he's got to now figure out how to prevent that bomb from going off and killing basically everyone in Central City. And the only two who can help him to start with is Jay Garrick and Jesse Quick.
Yep.
And the two of them just can't keep up with him. They start to tire, because if you stay in the Speed Force for too long, you start to tire out and you can't do it. You know, and as we've seen in previous episodes, Barry's able to touch other people and bring them in momentarily, but we find out in this episode, if he keeps them in there for too long, they start to get tired and could potentially die from, because their body's not supposed to be moving that quickly for that long.
Right.
So, you know, he tries with Cisco, and Cisco can't do it. Cisco, you know, has to tap out. He tries with Killer Frost. Killer Frost has to tap out. He tries with Wells. Wells has to tap out. Every turn he's going through, he's getting blocked until they finally come up with a way to do it. But it's just that pressure and that intensity, you felt it really come out across the screen, especially from Gustafson. Gustin did a great job.
Yeah.
You know, it's another episode that proves that this guy should have been the guy in the movie.
Yep.
Unquestionably, because he was so good. He would have just been perfect. He would have helped save Justice League ultimately. And that's a big thing to say, but he would have made a big difference in Justice League.
Yeah. Definitely. And I think automatically the show would probably be getting ratings that they had never seen before. Like right now, CW doesn't really pull a super amount of viewers. The Arrowverse is what's their bread and butter right now. And Grant Gustin would have definitely carried that into the DCEU and then brought that back and make it mean something. You know what I'm saying? But this episode really shines a spotlight on the powers of the Flash, because you got to look at it. That whole episode takes place within 8 minutes 47 seconds, and it's like you're watching Barry go in Flash time, and nobody can hang with him. He's the one that lasts the longest.
Yep.
And even at the end of it, he's still killing his speed. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, yo, this, like, if anything, this should give you a deeper respect for Barry's power and what he can do. If you pay attention, it also shines a light on Iris.
Sure.
As his anchor, you know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, the whole problem gets solved when he's talking to Iris.
Yep.
Now, if you paid attention, you'll notice that Iris was literally the only person that he pulled into this Flash time that didn't feel the effects that everybody else felt.
Right.
She lasted the longest. Now, I don't know if this is going to be bleeding into this week's episode, Run Iris Run, where she has powers for a little bit.
Right.
So I don't know if this has something to do with her ability as a speedster or something else. Now, it's just like, it's just like what it was, even though it was a filler, it still gave us enough questions to want to see what happens next. You know what I'm saying? There was still enough in the plot that says, hey, we still have this overarching plot that's still happening, but this is an issue that we're dealing with within this season. But there's so much more that we have to tackle. So it's just like finding out what's happening with Iris and then still finding out what's happening with this girl who we have no idea. I'm assuming that she's burying Iris's kid from the future. Now, I don't know if Cecile being pregnant and her having abilities out of her pregnancy is alluding to why Iris has abilities. So it could be a situation where Iris could be pregnant, because one thing we got to remember, that first episode of the season, when Barry comes out of the Speed Force, he starts talking in gibberish, like nobody understands what he's saying. But a lot of the lines that he was using were lines from the past, present, and what we can assume is the future of the Flash series. Like, a lot of the lines that he was using reference lines that he used in the first and second seasons, and then there were some that we didn't have a reference point for him, so we can only assume that they were for the future. The one where he says, "Your Honor, I didn't kill this man," that eventually came up in the Flash case, the case of the Flash. And so we watch that unfold, and he says that line. So he says another line that says, "We're going to need more diapers." It could be a direct reference to the fact that Barry and Iris in the comics have twins. So if this is the case, and Iris is now getting powers because of the dark matter effects on her and her twins, could we be getting a pregnancy announcement at the end of the season? Because, I mean, there's a lot of things that could be hinting towards it that we saw in this episode. So
Right.
Yeah, man. I'm interested to see where this series goes. It's been hitting it out of the park every episode. And yeah. I will not be surprised if this episode wins awards for The Flash, because it was simply incredible.
And because one of the other bigger parts of the episode is he almost instantly figures out a way to solve the problem.
Right.
But then realizes, because Garrick tells him, you know, his method is to throw the bomb into the Speed Force and let it blow up in there. And Garrick says to him, "There's no way you can do that. If you do that, you're going to destroy Speed Force. Every speedster in existence will lose their powers."
Yep.
And now that struggle starts to take place. You know, Barry, like, "Oh my God, do I want to lose my powers? I want to cost everybody else their powers just to save this city. You know, I'm going to cost millions of speedsters across these different, you know, Earths and these different galaxies their abilities." So.
Yeah,
it's just watching all that is fascinating. Watching him go through that, like, "This is my only option, but I can't do this," kind of thing. So
yeah,
it's just such a good episode. If you haven't seen it yet, you're a fan of The Flash, you definitely should go watch it. It's really
check it out. Check it out. It's worth it, man. Next up, we got Black Lightning episode Equinox, The Book of Fate, and basically, you know, what's going on in this episode is we're reeling after last episode. Where Jefferson finds out that his daughter Anissa has abilities, and he finds out that she's a meta and she has powers, and so they're trying to figure out what they're gonna do. Cause at this point, it's just like he basically it's interesting because he gets on this soapbox at one point, not wanting Anissa to be a super. He doesn't want her to be a hero, but it's like everything that he's saying basically contradicts his own reasoning for becoming a superhero. And she points it and calls him out for that. So along with all of that, you still have this whole like backstory going with where we're still dealing with Tobias Well, and we're still dealing with Lady E, and we're still trying to figure out whether or not we can trust the man that Jefferson's like honestly been trusting with everything in his life, his identity, his family, his protection as he's out in the field. We don't even know if this guy is somebody we can trust, because we find out that he has ties to Lady E and he has ties to Tobias. Like, it's crazy. Like, now the show is really getting to where I wanted it to be. Like, I need some intrigue. I need some interest. I need action every episode. I need a different threat every episode that doesn't pertain to the main threat. And basically, the series gets ended out with Black Lightning being framed for murder. Like, yo, welcome to the fold. Like, I'm excited. I'm excited. So I don't know if you've checked it out yet, Professor, but yo, man, it's getting so good.
I am well behind. I told you I stopped at the one where he was having those weird like headaches things.
I haven't
had a chance to go back to it yet. There's just so much other stuff going on.
I have not
caught up just yet.
Yeah, this is one of those shows where I would honestly say, like, just wait a few more episodes and then just binge it. Because the parts where it dips, then it starts to pick up and then it just takes off. So in order to deal with those slow episodes at first, it's probably better to just binge watch it. But yo, I'm loving it. I'm definitely on it now. So I'm with this one.
At some point, I'll catch up to it. It's just, there's, like I said, there's between, you know, Flash and Arrow, Legends.
Shield,
and Ash versus Evil Dead, and it's you know, and everything else that I'm already doing on top of all that, it's hard to keep track of everything. So,
man.
Finished Jessica Jones season 2.
Yeah, TV is high demand. I'm watching iZombie. I'm watching Blind Spot. Like, it's just like so much on right now, man.
I mean, I gave up on Blind Spot and Blacklist because I just couldn't keep up, and they were too. I was like 10 or 12 episodes behind.
Yeah.
I haven't watched season 2 of Preacher. I haven't watched that at all.
Oh yeah, that's right. I got to catch up with that.
You know, I kind of had to pack it in on some of this stuff because I just can't. I just don't have enough time to keep up with everything else I want to do at the same time, man. We can't. Much as I'd love to say I could, you know, until that day where I get paid to sit and do it, it ain't gonna happen.
Word. I second that motion.
Right?
Oh, man. So next up, let's talk about some Legends of Tomorrow, No Country for Old Dads. This felt like filler.
It was very much filler. It was a little too corny.
Yeah, in my opinion. Yeah, it was
I've always liked the Damian Darhk character for the most part, but they've taken him to this really cheeseball turn on Legends.
Yes.
You know, like on Arrow, he had some of the corniness to him, but for the most part, he was a drop-dead serious murderer,
yeah,
you know, of a character. And now in Legends, he's kind of this just goofy, like, psychopath that doesn't work for that character, I don't think. I'm not a big fan of him on Legends at this point. And this episode was just weird to me. It was definitely filler. It was just bizarre.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely still trying to follow the Ray arc as far as him trying to redeem Dark's daughter. And you can see that that's going to play some kind of role in the future. But it's just like, yeah, this whole episode is literally throwaway. Like, you don't even need it. You really don't even need it.
No.
You can get a recap this week and be fine. You wouldn't even have missed a beat. So,
it's funny, too. It took me a while to figure out where I'd seen her before, the actress playing his daughter. I'm like, I know her from before. She was on Dexter. That's where I remember her from.
Oh.
She was a reporter at one point.
I just recently saw her on Supernatural.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. She was there for the first couple episodes and then got killed off. So.
Gotcha.
Yep. So let's dig into Arrow, Doppelganger. Not so much filler. They're still dealing with what's his name, Ricardo Diaz.
Yes,
they're still dealing with him.
He's becoming a much more interesting character.
Yeah, he's definitely an interesting villain. I don't know what his story is, but it's kind of like he is focused. That man is focused.
I wish it didn't sound like he was trying to channel Al Pacino every time he talks, but the character. The character is definitely a lot cooler than he was introduced to us before, so I'm looking forward to seeing how that'll plays out.
Yeah, it's funny, but that's literally how that guy talks. Like, everything that I've seen him on, he has that Pacino-esque voice.
Kind of talks like this every time he says something.
Yeah, man. Oh,
but I like that. I mean, I dig it. The idea that this is now going to be, you know, true Laurel is kind of confusing.
Yeah.
You know, obviously there's something else going on. If you watch the episode, you see that she's very clearly playing both sides here, but you're not really sure which side she's truly playing.
Right. Yeah.
I think ultimately she's in it for herself. We know, look, there's no doubt in my mind that she's the one who has the money because she's telling both sides that it's gone. She's the one who's got it somewhere. So, I get the feeling, knowing Arrow as I do, that at the end of the season, she's going to make the turn to be on his team. She's going to give all the money back, and she's going to become Laurel. For some reason, they'll end up trusting her, you know, and she'll become Laurel again. But it's been an interesting kind of storyline. It's definitely not as good as Flash has been, but it's been pretty good. You know, I'm digging it.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still very much over Dinah's attitude right now. Like, I get it, but, yo, like, it's getting to the point, like, I don't know if the mission objective is to make us hate Dinah. If that's the case, then they're very successful in doing it, because I really can't. Her character is really starting to wear my patience, and it's taking a toll. Like that plot arc needs to change immediately for me.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
So hopefully that gets addressed, that gets changed, because it's like, all right, we get it. Y'all don't trust each other. Get over it. Like, life happens.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not in a profession where you have the luxury of being a pain as much as you are. Like, come on, we gotta get stuff done.
Exactly, exactly.
But it was a pleasure to see Roy again.
It was. I like.
Yeah,
Roy.
Yeah. I really like Roy. It hurt to see him go. The first time around. But it looks like he may possibly be trying to take Speedy with him. So,
yo, my girl Thea leaves the show, I'm not going to be happy.
You will be one unhappy camper.
I will. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah. But, I mean, next, and that's what's funny is we got this episode that kind of focused on Thea and her development as a character. And so it's going to continue over into this week. They're trying to pull her into whatever League of Shadows as the heir of the demon. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm curious to see that. Yeah, because I mean, I guess technically it's true because she's the daughter of Malcolm Merlin, who was the last Ra's al Ghul. So
yep,
and he's supposed to be dead. So we'll see.
It'll be
interesting to see what happens.
Yeah, so
we get to see some back till like March 23rd or something like that.
Oh, they said that?
Yeah.
Oh man,
I was mad, dude. It might have been the 29th. Let me check my calendar.
Sheesh.
I was like, what? What are they breaking for? They were just on break. Yeah, 29th was the date.
Oh man,
I'm not quite sure what's going on there, but
yeah, all these breaks and pauses.
Oh,
man.
You know what? I know what it is. It's the NCAA tournament.
March Madness. Oh, yeah, they do take off for stuff like that.
Yeah, so Flash might be in another couple weeks, too.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll probably play this week because the tournament doesn't start until Thursday or Friday, but come on, son.
Yeah. Oh, man. And then we have, then we finally have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., their 100th episode.
I'm going to be straight up honest, I was disappointed.
Yeah, it was a little.
It was not. It really was. You know, they built it up to have all these great cameos and blah blah this blah blah that. The cameos all lasted like 30 seconds.
Yeah, and it's like, I think what bothered me the most is because I was really expecting some kind of resolution with the deal that Coulson made with the writer, and
it was really kind of corny.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, what bothered me the most is. You hype up these cameos. You make sure everybody knows that one of the ones is going to be Hive, who was the biggest villain probably of every series so far because of the fact that it was one of their own whose body was taken over.
Right.
Then not only do you not use the actor, you show the corny kind of, although it's kind of cool looking, but you show the corny Hive alien thing. It's there for 5 seconds. Yeah. Literally 5 seconds. Long enough for it to walk in the door, lift its arms up before Coulson shoots it, kills it.
Yeah.
You're like, what was the point of that? It wasn't just like you make this big, because it's this big dramatic introduction, and I'm spoiling it at this point, I don't care. It's this big dramatic introduction where they show just the feet in the bottom of the trench coat, you know, and they go into the super slow-mo mode, and they pan up, and here comes Hive, and then bang, gone. what did I just watch? Like, really?
Yeah.
I don't think it was well done, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I was glad to see Deathlok come back in full effect. But for them to say, like, oh, yeah, well, I'm only staying here for a little bit, and I'm going back out in the field. Like, tag, man, come on.
Right?
We could use all hands on deck right now.
You know, and now they're saying that it might not get renewed for season 6. So,
oh, man.
There seems to be some thought.
You know what, though? I'm going to be completely honest with you. It makes sense. We're getting to the end of phase 1. This was a stem of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So if we're wrapping up phase 1 and starting something new, then it makes sense that this should come to a close. I was kind of hoping that S.H.I.E.L.D. would just evolve and then find its way back in the MCU. But, you know, if it ends, I'm like, at this point, I'm kind of like fine with it because I know that there's an end to this whole overarching story that's about to happen.
But more than likely, if it ends, it's going to end with the death of Coulson. Like, the actual death of Coulson.
Right.
Which is kind of a shame, because I want to see him back in the MCU. I want to see him back as in the movies as Agent Coulson. I think he's just perfect.
Yeah.
Is it the right way to end the show? Probably.
Yeah.
But if you're going to do that, and you know you're going out for sure, you have to have cameos in the last episode. You have to have Chris Evans or Robert Downey Jr. or both in some fashion or another show up to actually witness the actual death of Coulson.
Right.
You know, in some way, shape, or form. I just don't see it happening. You know what I mean?
Because
you would have known about it by now if something like that was going to happen. So.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shame because the show really has hit its stride. It's gotten really, really, really good.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's running the risk of not being renewed. And either way, I think Coulson probably dies at the end of the season. It's a shame because he's one of my favorite characters.
If we see any cameo, it's probably going to be Nick Fury. But, you know,
I was thinking that too.
Yeah, I hope that there's more than that because, you know, I mean, at least from Cap. I mean, Cap is somebody that Coulson admired. I mean,
right.
And you see those images throughout the entire series. Like, even when he gets that new arm, that shield that he gets is basically beat for beat Captain America's shield.
Yeah.
So, it's just like, I don't know. I want him to do it right. I want him to do, if you're going to do it, just do it right for me.
As long as he gets the right out, it'll be okay. I don't know, man. I'm not holding a lot of faith in it right now, unfortunately. But we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Well, that's it for the TV reviews. Let's step into some movie reviews. I got a chance to watch A Wrinkle in Time last week. So I got to check it out and see what it was about. I mean, the visuals in this film are breathtaking. Like, the worlds that they take you to are incredible. It's definitely, I mean, you feel that it's definitely a kid's film. But it's still powerful. It's still potent. It's like Chronicles of Narnia type feel, but it hits you so hard as far as the emotions are concerned. Mm-hmm. Like, don't go see this movie if you don't feel like tearing up. Like, that's that's all I can tell you. Like, this movie hits you all in the feels, and surprisingly, there's one character in this movie. The character's name is George Wallace, and this little boy steals the screen. Like, he steals the show. Like, this little boy is all of six, seven years old, but he acts like he's in his mid, like, 50s. it's the cutest thing in the world. Like, it's hilarious, yo. So if you got kids that you want to take out to see this movie, it's definitely worth a view. With the visuals that they had, I would go as far as to say, see this in 3D with the kids, man. I'm pretty sure it would be an experience.
Okay.
I got a chance to watch a movie in Prime and watch a movie in RPX. And what I'm going to say is RPX is the better version of the two. Because if you're going to sit in a seat that's going to rumble with the sound that you're watching, and then you're also going to get the 3D to supplement, yo, do it in RPX. So do RPX 3D, do 3D, see this movie in a way that's going to intensify the visuals that you'll see on screen. It's definitely a movie that's worth that kind of look. So I enjoyed Wrinkle in Time. I say go check it out, man. Kids and adults alike.
It's been a big praise. Check it out.
Yeah, man. I could definitely understand why Friday this movie came out on top. I mean, it's a kid's movie, so of course it's going to do well. But it came out on top on Friday, and that's not an easy task to do, especially with a blockbuster like Black Panther being out. It's a Marvel film that's been well received. And this movie had its time to shine. It had a moment in the sun so that it rose to the top, and there's a reason for it. It was really well done. Ava DuVernay is one of my favorite directors. I enjoyed it. It was so much fun seeing Reese Witherspoon on the screen. I haven't seen her in a while, so it was fun to see her as a character that's kind of like hilarious. Zach Galifianakis was on this movie too, and he was hilarious. So it's like he plays like a straight man, like he plays like a straight, like straight character, like stoic, like brooding type character, and it's so hilarious to see him in that role. So yeah, I'm definitely recommending this. So go check it out. Wrinkle in Time is in the theaters now.
There you go.
Yeah, man. Just a friendly reminder. The bosses are trying to give back this year. What we're doing is we're participating in extralife.org. And basically what it does is it unites thousands of gamers around the world to play games in support of their local Miracle Network Hospital. Our local Miracle Children's Miracle Network Hospital is going to be the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. Since Extra Life's inception in 2008, it's raised more than $40 million for sick and injured kids. It's a 24-hour fundraising and gaming marathon to support these hospitals. And on game day this year, which will be November 3rd, the Boss's Desk will be joining thousands of gamers and just dedicate an entire day of playing games to get donations from friends just like you. 100% of your donations are going to the hospitals that we've chosen. That's the Philadelphia Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And all of your donation is going to go to that to help make a difference for sick kids in the city. Your donation is tax deductible, and it'll make miracles happen for families who desperately need them. So if you're on this page right now, just scroll down to the bottom. You can click the donate button right there under the feed that we show you of how much we've already raised for this event. You can just click there, donate. We're not asking for any specific amount. I believe there's a minimum of 15 that you can select, but you can also select other and put in your own amount. Just, you know, if you can, just chip in, man. We'd love to get your support. On game day, when it actually happens, we'll have some kind of special event show. Probably do something live, maybe broadcast the games that we get owned in. It'll be fun.
It's anything like our normal nights? Could be ugly.
It'll be tragic, but it'll be great.
Most definitely.
But yeah, so you know, we appreciate any and all help that we can get from you guys. So just don't hesitate to click donate. Find out more about extralife.org. Find out more about what it is that we're doing. I'll put links into the actual live stream that I'll be doing for the actual game day, so you guys can check it out. I'm going to have some people come in, some special guests. We're going to just have some fun playing these video games. Got some Black Ops, probably get some Injustice in, probably get some. It'll be November 3rd, so it might be some Red Dead going on, you know.
Nice. There'll be all kinds of stuff by then.
Yeah. So it'll be plenty to see, folks. So, just click donate and give what you can. We'll appreciate it.
Any amount, we appreciate it.
Yeah. So that is it for us here at the Boss's Desk. If you are tuning in for the first time, don't forget to follow us on all the various social media outlets. We're on Facebook under the Boss's Desk, Twitter at the Boss's Desk, YouTube the Boss's Desk. We're also on Google Play and iTunes. Just search for the Boss's Desk and hit subscribe, and you'll get constant updates whenever we release a new episode. If you have any questions about anything you heard on the show, or anything about the news, or anything that you've read and you're like, hey, bosses, you should probably share this, just hit us up on Twitter. We're at the bosses desk, or you can send us an email if you don't have a Twitter account. It's questions@thebossesdesk.com. You just give us your question, give us your news item, and share it with us, and you might see it here. You might hear us talk about it here on the Geek News of the Week. So, that's it for the Big Boss and the Professor. And we will catch you guys next week. We are out.
See you.